This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 8th WGN show. We started right at 10, and I remembered to start the stream. If you don't hear yourself on it, well, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that is from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight, and if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Unscreened again, so I appreciate your patience. Here's the deal. If I notice somebody's calling, I'll put you on hold. While I'm doing the show, you'll hear it. When we're in commercial breaks or the news, you won't hear anything. And of course, if I'm talking to somebody else, it's just going to ring. Now, unfortunately, with today's phones, it won't ring forever, so you'll get disconnected. You'll have to call back. So that's the deal, and we'll do it first come, first serve. I know what area codes you're in, since I pay for these calls, but beyond that, I know nothing, so I don't know who's who. So that's the deal. So if you want to get in on the action, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. All right, I started to talk about this last night, or at least a promo that I would, and then got waylaid. Oh, I should also mention, I remembered probably for the first time, let this day go down in history, to start the stream. So if you listen to my stream, you're hearing it now. But anytime you're listening to my stream and you're not hearing it, don't forget WGN's got a wonderful stream at WGNradio.com. All right, now, let's get to that statistic. And we look for indicators of the overall economy, and most of the indices are downright boring. And then there's the Tooth Fairy. Now, before we get to what's happened, we should probably review the history of the Tooth Fairy, because the Tooth Fairy and money actually isn't that old. 1908 is the first mention of that, and that was actually in an article in the Chicago Daily Tribune under Household Hints. Tooth Fairy, many a refractory child will allow a loose tooth to be removed if he knows about the Tooth Fairy. If he takes his little tooth and puts it under the pillow when he goes to bed, the Tooth Fairy will come in the night and take it away and in its place leave some little gift. It's a nice plan for mothers to visit the 5-cent counter and lay a supply of articles to be used on such occasions. And so that was from Lillian Brown in the Chicago Daily Tribune. Now, that's not to say the Tooth Fairy didn't exist prior to that. There was just no compensation involved. Actually, the folklore goes back to the Middle Ages. And it's not pretty as far as that goes. Children in England were instructed to burn their baby teeth on pain of spending eternity searching for the baby teeth in the afterlife. Oh, that's a nice thing to tell the kids. Fear of witches were another reason to burn or bury the teeth. In medieval Europe, it was thought that a witch could assume total power over someone if they were to obtain one of their teeth. All right, so the reality is that that didn't go over too well, but after the Chicago Daily Tribune got in on the action, it spread like wildfire. So there we are. It's over 100 years ago, so let's see what's been going on. Now, the Economic Tooth Fairy Index has only been going on since 1998. Must have been a very slow news day. All right, and so looking at that, the one thing that's interesting is there's parallel growth to the S&P 500. Yeah, so 2026, well, firstly, let's talk about who was polled. 1,000 parents nationwide with children aged 6 through 12. And the poll was taken between January 5th and January 16th of this year. And they say the results have a margin of plus or minus 3. Yeah, 3%. Okay, then. So, when the Tooth Fairy Index was conducted in 1998, the average tooth paid $1.30. What? Yeah, those of you long of tooth, yeah, we were lucky if we got a quarter. nickel and then a dime and then finally a quarter. Although I digress a moment. I last night was talking with engineer Bob, who sends me these great links and was keeping me on the air last night. And he said he grew up with a family of five kids, and he used to get a quarter, but then all of a sudden he got a silver dollar. The only thing was, he found out later that rather than keeping it for him, his father just used the same silver dollar for all five kids. So it turned out to be a cheap deal. And I said, "Didn't you complain?" And he doesn't remember doing that. But obviously he was an obedient child. I would have had something to say. Give me that dollar. All right. So $1.30 in 1998. And if you adjust that for inflation, it would be $2.50 today. However, the current average in the United States of America sits at $5.84. And that's a 17% increase from last year, $5.01. Of course, it's different parents, they're asking. And the first time since 2023 that the TFI, the Tooth Fairy Index, has gone up as 2024 and 2025 saw a slight decline. The current $5.84 average marks a 349 spike since the TFI began in 1998. Now, of course, no kid is getting $5.84. I don't believe. These are averages as far as that goes. Now, the 17% increase is almost perfectly in line with the S&P 500. Actually, it increased 16%, but close enough. The S&P 500 has jumped 480.93% since 1998, which is actually higher than the TFI. The Tooth Fairy Index has only grown 349%. And so, yes, there's parallel growth, but not all the time. All right, so now we've got other information that you might know. Parents reported leaving more money when a child loses the first tooth. And apparently the first tooth is worth 23% more than the average, around $7.17 across the country. 38% of parents who were surveyed said they left extra cash to celebrate that milestone before dropping the amount for any teeth going forward. And the Tooth Fairy doesn't leave cash for anything. Everyone, 32% of kids got gifts instead. Doesn't talk about anybody who got nothing, but I'm sure that I was going to say some stockings, some teeth went cold. Sitting right there on the nightstand again, the Tooth Fairy skipped a visit. Now, breaking it down in quadrants, the Northeast has the highest total of any region, on average $6.45, a 41% jump since 2025. Now, in the West, $5.99, which is a 5% increase year over year. The South, which had been the top in 2025, despite a 3% increase, comes in third this year at $5.88. And last is the Midwest, where kids earn $5.27 on average, 52% more than last year. Now, the Tooth Fairy isn't just American. Other countries reward kids like Canada. The average is $8 CAD, which is $5.78 USD, so fairly close. In England, it's 4.34 pounds, which is 5.78 US as well. Spain and Ireland, 4.96 euros, which is 5.72 USD. Japan, each tooth is worth 904 yen, $5.66. So it's actually kind of equal. Now, in terms of what the Tooth Fairy looks like, this has been investigated as well. 74% believe it's female. 12% believe it's neither. And 8% didn't care, they just wanted the money. So there you have it. Now, in 2011 and 2012, the Royal Canadian Mint, why did I not know this? I definitely would have gotten some of these, issued Tooth Fairy quarters for 2 years, packaged separately. In 2020, the Royal Australian Mint began issuing Tooth Fairy kits that included $2 coins. I don't know if they still are, but I'll bet you those Royal Canadian Mint Tooth Fairies probably pitching a pretty good sum right now. Well, a quarter then. Boy, how much could you get? Well, 888-876-5593. We'll be talking to 815 and 858. Yeah, I think it's 859. All right, that could be Covington. We'll see. Coming up. But first, I want to mention the Sea Crane Company because it's one of my favorite things. Yes, and, you know, we talk about emergency radios, and let's face it, most aren't. And I say that because here comes the emergency. It's late at night. The lights are out. You reach for the radio. You reach for the flashlight, and you find out the batteries are dead. So much for emergency preparedness. Well, the CC Solar with Bluetooth solves that. Firstly, you can, if you want, get an optional AC adapter and use it on power when there is power. The beauty of this, it's got an oversized solar deal, and I'm sure there's something other than solar deal, a solar panel, I guess they would say. It's an oversized solar panel, so, you know, you're going to get a lot of time if you've left this radio on a windowsill in the sun, but alas, maybe you didn't, and maybe the batteries are dead. So what then? Well, here is the deal. It's got a little hand crank on the back. You crank it for 30 seconds. It'll play for about 30 minutes, and it's got a built-in LED flashlight. So no matter what, you will always have radio. You will always have light. And the other thing is this thing looks good. I know images of a wind-up radio create all sorts of all sorts of horror in the mind, but this is the size of a brick. It's white. It's got clean, modern digital design. It's got five easy one-touch memories, and what it's also got, like every radio that Bob Crane developed, it's got superior reception, AM and FM. It will leave others in the dust. And excellent audio. In fact, the audio is so good, that's why Bluetooth is there, because you can use it as your Bluetooth speaker. Now, it covers AM and FM wonderfully. But also you get the weather band and weather alerts from NOAA. So it is a great deal. And you can order it right now from the Sea Crane Company. If you go to ccradio.com, you can check it out. Yeah, it's peace of mind in something that looks good as well as sounds great and very receptive. ccradio.com, the CC Solar with Bluetooth. Can't go online? Well, that's all right. Give them a call. They've got great customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions, and if you want to order by phone, you can do that too. But if you can go online, great catalog. ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar. Tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Well, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The anchors have been weighing from Miami to Nassau. She's bound across the waves. She's heading south to Biscayne Bay into the open sea. Yarmouth Castle, she's dying and don't know it. Another many years she's been to sea. She's seen the better times. Here's a groan of protest as they cast away her lines, and the grumble of her engines and the rust along her spine tells the castle she's too old to be sailing. But the sands run out within her heart, a tiny spark glows red. It smolders through the evening, there's laughter overhead. Now the dinner's served and the cards are dealt and the drinks are passed around. And deep within the fire starts a-burning. Now it's midnight on the open sea and the moon is shining bright. Some people join the party and others say goodnight.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Gordon Lightfoot, we were talking about this as Brian and Seneca last night. It's from his album 1969, Sunday Concert. But when I was, after I talked to Brian, I thought to myself, what is it with Gordon Lightfoot and shipwrecks? Of course, 7 years later, he'd give us the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And it turned out that he, in his personal life, had a dramatic interest in dramatic disasters, maritime disasters. And yeah, for whatever reason, this guy was into researching shipwrecks. And you know, the Yarmouth, and we talked a little about the Yarmouth Castle, that was 1965, and it was a passenger ship. And it highlights panic, cowardice, negligence, and of course, it's all in the song. And of course, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was not a passenger ship. But so there you have it. Now, when Gordon Lightfoot died, Bob Dylan paid him the ultimate compliment. He said, Gordon Lightfoot died without ever having making a bad song. Well, I don't know. Maybe he never heard the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I'm not sure. I didn't have to play it. All right, so let's see what we got here. We're going to 815. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
Oh, this is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Well, you know, I can remember getting like a nickel for But that was back, you know, like 1940, you know, one or
Yeah, a nickel was the suggested denomination from 1908, I'd say till the 50s.
You know, it cost 14 cents for the government to make a nickel now.
and there's no nickel in it.
I heard.
Well, I don't think there's any nickel in it either.
Probably not. You know, the penny there, they were making them out of zinc, I think, toward the end.
Yeah, now they're gone, right?
Apparently so. And I can remember getting Indian head nickels in circulation when
sure.
I was a kid.
Of course.
Of course, I guess you know that I'm on the last lap here at over 90, so.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and you're right. It actually cost the government 13.78 cents. Yeah, 14 cents. You're dead on.
They got it down to the tenth of a cent.
A
mill.
Apparently.
God, I can remember when they were doing mills. You know, there was 10 mills to the penny.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the deal is apparently they are still making it from copper and nickel, and I had no idea. Well, how long is that going to last? It's been apparently cost more to produce than it is in face value for the last 19 years.
You know, when I was in school, it happened to be that I was kind of taken by one of the girls that in first grade there, you know, and I admired her because she was pretty smart.
Yeah.
And it turned out that she was a midget and not a dwarf.
Okay.
And in high school, she was just beginning to lose her baby teeth.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I wonder how much money they gave her. Usually it's not a high schooler.
Well, you know, The girls that she grew up with, they started to mother her, you know, when she just stayed at about the same size she was in first grade, you know, and she was really just, you know, she went from being, I guess she was more cute than anything else when she got up into, you know, high school and that.
Chuck, you have just ended the half hour, so call me again soon. I got the news.
Well, it's good to talk to
Likewise,
you again.
Likewise, always. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks. All right, so we will do the news, and then we'll get to 859, and hopefully your calls too, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Now, see, that's country. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Loretta Lynn, 1966, and absolutely she wrote it. More talented than you might realize. And it was Don and Beloit who asked for that. Yeah, 66 on DECA. All right, so 888-876-5593. Again, unscreened, so I'll put you on hold when you call, and then we'll do it in order of who called first. And that takes us right now to 859. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, John from Covington.
Yeah.
Three very quick things. The first thing is I will not be touting any more ball games on your show anymore simply because Yeah, since the Super Bowl, I gave out five, and I was right on four of them. But I got to thinking about it, that fifth one, how do I know, and it really makes me sad to think this way, but how do I know that somebody didn't take my advice and maybe bet more than they should? So I won't be doing that anymore.
Well, hopefully nobody's going to be betting more than they should under any circumstances. And the other thing, of course, hopefully they'll take your tips as just that, a tip, and they'll make their own decision on that. So I don't have a problem with you doing it, because as you realize, and everybody else should too, it's not a sure thing. If it was, it wouldn't pay out like it does. So,
I'm glad you see it that way.
I do. I absolutely do. Now, for people who have trouble with gambling, that's a whole different thing. And I don't think whether you recommend, one team over another will make a hoot and holler a difference. I mean, how many people are spending all their money on lottery tickets? So hopefully not too many.
Well, that's true, too. Okay. The second thing is, you're talking about coins before the wartime nickel. Are you familiar with the wartime nickel?
What's the deal with the wartime nickel?
The wartime nickel is from World War II, of course, and it's 1942 to 1945.
It's probably got no nickel in it.
They're 35% silver.
Okay, all right, but I would assume that the deal is they don't have nickel. So
they have, exactly. But they took the nickel to build tanks and things, hand grenades and whatnot. So, those are 35% silver. And the way you can tell if you have one, and you can still find them in ordinary change once in a while, is above Monticello or Monticello. How do you say that? Monticello, cello, what is it?
I think it's Monticello, but you'd have to ask somebody from Virginia, I think.
Okay. Well, so right above Monticello or cello, there'll be the letter P, D, or S.
Okay.
P, Philadelphia, Denver, San Francisco.
Right.
And that's how you can tell you have a wartime nickel.
Now, do they have, in collectible circles, do they have more value?
The 42 is more collectible simply because also in 1942, they made the ordinary nickel. So they made both the ordinary and the silver nickel.
Okay.
Okay, and then the third thing I wanted to tell you I read this in about 50 years ago. I'm not kidding, 50 years ago in Reader's Digest.
But
little grandson or granddaughter or what have you, okay, she, the older sister is getting money from the Tooth Fairy, so she decides to take and... I guess steal would be wrong word, but take her grandparents'
oh no, dentures!
Upper,
don't tell me
upper plate and put it under her pillow.
That's great.
That's compliments of Reader's Digest.
Oh God, yeah, I can see the logic. The kid's thinking, I'm going to clean up here.
exactly. I'm going to get. Oh hell, I'm going to get $20.
That's a great story. I love it.
Thanks, Relic. See ya.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, that is truly hilarious. But, hey, I can see the logic there. And probably the kid became a fine financier, well, if not a thief. So 888-876-5593. I believe that takes us to 737, and we'll find out coming up on WGN Radio. So who are you? And where are you? Hello, hello. You're nobody and you're nowhere. I understand. All right. So if you want to call, that would be that'd be just fine. Otherwise, I'll prattle on, of course. We've got this day in history. We are now on the 8th, of course. And we didn't finish all of the events that constitute April. I still am in somewhat of a quandary over finding out how this officially happens or whether you, too, can coin your own month. I'm starting to think so, given some of these. But for one thing, Leon Huff. 84 today. I hope he's still with us. And I'd have to look that up because something tells me maybe not, but I hope so. In any event, he and Kenny Gamble had worked originally for Jerry Ross. All right, so we'll pick it up right there if you want to join in the fun. And meantime, we'll find out about Leon Huff and a few other things coming up. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it's Van McCoy. I think that, that Karen and Madison probably wanted the stylistic, something with words, but I thought Van McCoy did a very nice instrumental on that, too, and we'll get to the stylistics as well, but that was Van McCoy and the Soul City Symphony. Okay, so Leon Huff is still alive, very pleased to say. Yeah, 84 years old. And, of course, as I was mentioning, he and Kenny Gamble worked for Jerry Ross for years. And then there's a little label that was owned by, co-owned by Jerry Blavin and Jerry Green and in Philadelphia, Crimson. And they produced Expressway to Your Heart for the Soul Survivors, who were a couple of brothers from Philadelphia, and the Ingwe brothers. And so... that started it, and then, of course, they formed Gamble Records and, you know, the Intruders and the rest, Cowboys to Girls, the rest was history for them. So I'm pleased to see that that Leon Huff is still with us, so happy 84th to Leon. All right, so let's see what we got here. I'll figure this out sooner or later. 737, we'll try this. Welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you? All right, nowhere. So we'll try. Oh, wait, I see. He moved to a different line. I'm not sure how that happened. But all right, we'll try it again.
Well, I thought you lost me somewhere.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure this out.
I don't know.
I was upstairs working on my next radio show.
Yeah.
And I looked at the clock, and I said, it said 10:30, and I said, Raleigh asked me to call in tonight and call early.
Yeah.
So I stopped everything that I was doing.
Oh, thank you. So for this week coming up on Sunday night, what are we going to have?
I'm working on that right now, so I can't tell you.
Okay.
But I don't know.
All right. All right.
It's work in progress. But, you know, I'm not only on Sunday. I'm on every morning from 5 to 10, but it's not soul music.
Right. So,
does that matter? I mean, well, there's a lot of soul music in there, but anyway, so
yeah.
I work hard for the money, the very little money that I'm paid.
Ah, all right.
Your level is so low.
I'm sorry,
it's hard
about
to hear you.
I wonder why. Let me see if
I don't know. I don't know, but this ain't tech talk.
All right.
So, by the way, I heard you mention yesterday that you were on Lisa Dent's show the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, on Friday. It must have been a slow news week because Ashley had written saying, Lisa wants you to be a guest. And I thought, what do I have to say? And I said, sure. And so, yeah, we did about 10 minutes at the end of her show Friday. And what a trooper. I mean, I can't believe how much pain that woman is in and what she's been going through. So that's amazing.
Well, I if you could turn back the clock to 1996,
oh, you!
I was hired at what's the name of the place? Kick.
KIKK in Houston. Where Lisa worked, yeah.
Well, yeah, but let me tell you what happened.
So I was hired there January 1st of 96. I guess I can say it's one of the most despicable, worst general managers I've ever encountered.
Is he still alive?
I have no idea. I wish him the best, but I hope I never see the likes of him again.
Oh, I can't. I can't wait to know who this is.
Probably agree with that. But anyway, they didn't renew my contract, and they fired me on the phone when I was on vacation. Right before, I think December 17th of 96. So I was there about 11 months. But what happened was they brought in Lisa Dent to replace me.
Okay.
And so I never met her.
Uh-huh.
But I heard that she was just a wonderful person.
Yeah, you can tell that. But the other thing that amazed me is she worked at one station in Chicago for like 14 and a half years. And, for me, that's like unbelievable, because if I get 14 and a half minutes, it's probably the average. So
same here. And she went through KIKK in Houston. I don't know how many years she endured that. And I would bet you I never ever talked to her, but I had helped bring in a newsman that remained after I was dismissed, and he got to be very good friends with Lisa and said that she was just wonderful, and she apparently said one thing she's very outspoken, which I love that in a person.
Yeah.
And one day I was told that she said something to the general manager, "Don't you pull one of those Johnny going stunts on me."
What?
And he just went ballistic.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But she endured working there probably, I'm guessing, about 4 years.
Yep, she worked with Lil Joe on the morning show.
I remember all the stories because I knew the news guy that I had helped bring down to work there, and he outlasted me, and that's all right, you know how radio is. But she was a great radio talent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, US 99.
And I'm sure she still is. I haven't heard her much on WGN, but I understand she's been off for a while.
Well, she was, because, as she mentioned when it happened, and it's so true how life turns on a dime, and it's something we all need to remember in bad times as well as good times, because, man, it can just overnight turn. She fell in the bathroom, broke her shoulder, and it was such a bad break they had to do a full shoulder replacement.
How long
was in January, I believe, and she was off for a while. She's been back a while. I hope she's doing it from home. But, and from what I know, we didn't talk much about her, and I would have liked to, but she's on a farm. And the reason I know that is because her pig was on her Facebook page, just a cute pig.
When she was in Houston, she had a pig, I believe.
Well, all right. So there.
And she lived out in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry I really never met her, because I think we would have gotten along just great. And the fact that she replaced me, that wasn't her fault.
Of course not.
Somebody was bound to. So
right.
Anyway, but but when I heard that you were on her show, I thought, man, I've got to bring her up, because she was just a hell of a talent, and that station she was on in Chicago, wasn't it a country station?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. US 99, and then she was on one of the Clear Channel, the iHeart stations, for 3 years, and then she's been on GN for 5 years, I think, or at least four. But I think it might be five.
Well, that was a good decision on somebody's
part. Yes, yes, absolutely. So
was she out of work when she went to work for WGN?
I don't know, because she was at the iHeart station, and next thing you know, she was at GN, and I don't know how the iHeart thing ended. She was there about 3 years.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
She was real big with CBS for years.
Oh, yeah, well, it was a US 99 deal.
Yeah, and then I remembered that she moved over to the other company and all that, and I didn't keep up with it. But I'm glad that she's better, to have to go through that type of injury.
I can't imagine. I just can't. Every time I think about it, I'm in pain just thinking about it. So, but it is true. Life does turn on a dime, and you just never know. So, but you can tell with her attitude, she'll be fine. But it's not an easy road.
I'm really sorry I never met her. Is it? I'm clocking you here. Somebody's got to keep you on track.
Yes, hang on. Don't go away. We're pretty close to that moment. Stay right where you are. All right. And we'll pick it up right after the news. Thank God for Johnny on WGN Radio.
Ooh, Priscilla, at last I found you. Come let me put my arms around you. Ooh, Priscilla, you sweet, sweet thing. Please wear my ring on your finger. Ooh, Priscilla,
hey, hey, Priscilla.
Hey, little girl, you know you've got my poor happy heart. Ooh, Priscilla,
hey, hey, Priscilla.
Well, I hope you know just what you have started. You came near me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Eddie Cooley, Priscilla, Andy in Norridge requested that. Interesting all the way around because it was on Royal Roost, which is named after the jazz club, and Music of the Future, it says. And Eddie Cooley and the Dimples, don't you know, known more for doo-wop and R&B. But as far as I'm concerned, Priscilla sounds awfully country to me, but maybe it's just my ears. So we're talking to Johnny Goen, soulofthecity.net, and there you are.
Hey, I'm still here. You know, you played that song, and it was vaguely familiar, but when I heard Priscilla, the name Eddie Cooley popped into my brain. And for some reason, I've got some kind of photographic memory in some kind of ways. He wasn't ever on Dot, was he?
I don't think so, as far as...
I don't know how in the world I remembered that song, because, I mean... That goes way back. That had to be like 57 or something,
but
maybe?
He might have been. He was on Roulette on some things. Priscilla was re-released on Roulette in like 1960 or so. But yeah, that was 56, and that was Royal Roost. But I don't think he was on any other label. And, of course, he was a songwriter, for one thing. And the Dimples were Barbara Coates and her sister Carolyn and Barbara Sanders. And that was the deal there. But everything I know, I think there was something in 59 on Triumph, which was a little label. Herb Abramson, who used to, you know, be partner in Atlantic originally, when he got back from the service, Triumph was one of his labels. And they did one thing on that, but no, that's pretty much it. Most of the times you see him on compilations rather than anything, because he certainly didn't have enough product under his own recording to actually have an album.
Well, it's funny, when that came on, the name Eddie Cooley came into my brain. I think, where in the heck did that come from?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Leona. On Triumph, 1959, Leona was pretty well known.
That wasn't a Stonewall Jackson song, was it?
Not that I know of, but I don't swear to it. No, I don't think so.
You remember Leona by Stonewall
Jackson?
Yes,
yes, but I don't think... Oh, God.
That's a favorite of mine, but you don't have to play it.
Oh,
but
no?
Speaking of that... Some weeks ago, I requested that I don't know if it was real, but it was a live version, or it was meant to sound like it, by Lloyd Price, called Misty on
Double L Records. You know what? And I've got it right here on there. And it's so funny because I have it here, and I thought sooner or later I'll figure out who requested it. So I'll play it next because it's been right on the screen the whole time.
I got a question. I saw somewhere Archie Bell.
Yeah, not doing
well.
He
was an old friend of mine from way back before he was famous.
Yeah.
sent an Easter message out on, I think it might have been Facebook, probably. But anyway, I don't know how to get in touch with him. I've got a phone number for him, and it said this person's mailbox is full and all that. So didn't you at one time have some address or
something? Yeah, he was absolutely as far as I know, in a nursing home in Houston.
I think he still is.
Right, absolutely, which is a shame.
I don't know if that address is still any good that you have, and you don't have to give it out on the air if you don't want to. But I would like to. You know, I mean, I got so close to him over there. I got closer to him after he became famous. It was funny because I met him in he was a parking lot attendant in Houston.
Yeah.
In 1966 when I was at KYOK. That's where I met him. And I think he was going to TSU at the time. And he said, he saw my KYOK T-shirt. And he said, "You work at KYOK?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Johnny Goen." And he said, "Oh man, I listen to you." And he said, "I got a group." And I said, "How many times have I heard this one?"
Right.
And he said, "And I'm going to have me a hit." This was 1966, okay?
Yeah.
I never saw it. So he went ahead and had his hit in 66. He had his hit in 68. I met him in 66.
Right.
But he said, and he co-hosted a lot of radio shows with me in Houston, and also that dreadful experience in Austin. You know, you and I had terrible radio experiences in the city.
Well, absolutely. But you mentioned Tighten Up, and the interesting part about that, as you probably know, yes, it's Archie Bell, but the backing wasn't any Drells. It was the TSU Tornadoes.
And, right, and Skipper Lee,
yes,
the
yes,
DJ, was,
he was the guy who facilitated. Yes,
that was originally on his label.
Absolutely right. Yes, you got it. And the TSU Tornadoes never wound up with any credit on it. Which you know, you knew Skipper Lee pretty well. I don't know if you ever discussed that, but probably.
No, but I got the feeling there might have been some kind of little riff there.
Oh, to say the least. Yeah, because not on Archie's part, but on the TSU Tornadoes, they're like, "Wait a minute, you know, this is our song, this is our group," and all that. But
they did one called "Getting in the Corners."
Yes, which didn't hit.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. So.
But if you know how to get in touch with him, well, you might put it posted or something.
No, I'll be happy to give you. I've got an address, but I don't know how current it is, and it's a post office box, and I'll be happy to give it to you.
Can you do it?
Yeah, you ready?
Can you put it on your blog? Because I'm going to tell you something. I know you're a pretty good engineer, but the level that I'm getting back from you is so low.
Oh, this is not good. You know, I'm going to worry about it over the weekend. Here is the problem. I've been rewiring the studio. Yeah. And I almost wasn't on the air tonight, you know. So I have a feeling if you're saying that, I probably screwed up on something and I'm not going to be able to hunt it down now. But I will.
No, you won't. I know. Pretty soon you'll be off the air.
Yeah, right. Well, one way or another. But I'll I'll try and figure out what is going on with that, and I have a feeling I might know, but I'm not going to play with it now, just in case I'm really wrong. But
all right, a couple of how many calls you got holding?
Three, I think.
All right, well, let me get out of here while you. Well, I don't like people having to wait so long.
Well, keep listening. It might be a desert next hour. We'll see.
Well, I'm happy to do it. I just don't want to be, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
a pesty
it. Yeah,
no, that's called all the time, and I don't want people thinking that I'm calling up here to talk to you to promote my stupid radio show. I'm not that kind of guy.
But nonetheless, we are absolutely going to do that. SoulOfTheCity.net Sunday 6 p.m. to midnight. But yeah, if you hear me talking to myself, call back. Thanks, appreciate it.
Okay, well, have fun.
Thanks. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna try. That's for sure. Now let me say goodbye to Johnny on this and put somebody else on hold. Yeah, if my levels are that low, I've screwed something up, and I don't know exactly what. And I can guess, but we're not gonna go there. And I will put the Archie Bell address on, as far as that goes, on the On the web on Raleigh.net, but it's a post office box 24334, Houston 77229, and I will do that and see. But that address is a couple years old, and so I'm also going to look right now for something that maybe is a little newer. I'd like to find out the name of the nursing facility, and maybe I can. We'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. Feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand just holding your hand. Feel like thousands of violins began to play, or is it the sound of your hello? That music I hear every time you're near. You can say that you're
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. March of 1963, Small's Paradise, New York City. Yeah, Lloyd Price takes to the stage, and they recorded it. The arrangement was Slide Hampton. Double L Records, which was Lloyd and his manager, was Lloyd and Logan, as far as that goes. And 63. So that's for Johnny. Now we know who wanted it. I've had it here all along. I thought, now I know somebody wanted me to play Misty, but who was it? All right. Well, now that we've got that out of the way. All right. 301. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you? I think somebody's asleep. Oh, man. I have that effect, I'm afraid. That'd be good if that's what you're trying for. All right, so let's see. Who has a... By the way, if you hang up and call back, you wind up, you know, losing your place in line, because I'm doing this. I don't know who's on what line. I just know how many minutes in the area code. And I know, I believe this is Detroit 313, I think, 16 minutes. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
Hi, Raleigh. This is Stan from Dearborn.
Hey, Stan. What's up?
Hey, thanks for playing the Larks last night.
Yeah.
The night before.
You
and it did a wonderful job telling the story of Gene Mumford.
Yeah.
And that was good. Also, I'd like to say... I rank him up in the top 10 or leads, just like you do.
Yes, absolutely. What a beautiful voice. And, you know, that whole stint in jail and all that, that was all just heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote this song about When I Leave These Prison Walls.
Right.
And that was on one of their releases, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many people hearing it had any idea that it was accurate, not apocryphal,
yeah,
but accurate.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, true story.
Yes.
And also, I want to commend you on doing an outstanding job on the James Gadson tribute.
Oh, yeah.
Especially about his start with the Carpets on Federal.
Right. And, you know, none of the Obits mentioned the Carpets. And
I know. That was terrible.
Yeah, they thought he just suddenly in about 1968 appeared on the scene with Charles Wright. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. And so...
Yeah, a lot of artists never get their beginnings told.
Right,
their hardships and getting on their way up.
Yeah, they're overnight sensations that took them 25 years.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that nobody, even Rolling Stone, nobody actually researched it enough, because the Carpets released records, as you know, and I played one, but it wasn't like it was some hidden story. It was out there.
Yeah, I had it marked on my on the disco file. Yeah. And a pretty good Gonzalez disco file, the ones that, you know, my want list and that.
Yeah.
And so when you played Why Do I?
Yeah.
I had I appreciated that. And I had the question of, is that the same song that Lee Andrews and the Hearts had?
No. It is not.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
And I love that Lee Andrews thing. Yeah, I love that Lee Andrews song. Why Do I is one of my all-time favorites. Let me I'll play some of it for you and you'll know exactly what I mean in terms of, it's just a great song, but it's not the same song.
Yeah.
Why do I think of you each day? Why do I love you this way, you know why, that is why I cry. Ooh, can it be,
oh, can it be
love at first sight?
Yeah, that's one of the songs that takes me right where I want to go.
Yeah, that was raw. So when you played the Carpets song,
yeah,
then that, you know, told me it was a different song.
Right.
So I had it marked as a want, and I didn't have it. So when you played it, now I have it. Thanks.
Right. And it was a flip side, of course. You know,
yeah.
Why Do I was not the A side.
Yeah, I've got the other one, Chicken Backs.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Federal.
Yeah,
I was noticing on your website they were called the Derbies at one time.
Right, they were. And by the way, Chicken Backs, you mentioned that was a B side also.
Right. Oh yeah, that's
yeah. What, Lonely Me was the A side. Hang on a minute.
Right.
Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
And okay.
We'll pick it up right here on WGN Radio. Well, heck, I've only played the end of that. I wanted to play the Tex Beneke part. I was listening to that earlier, and that was, and I'll start it again for the next bumper, but that was what Dave on the north side wanted to hear, and Glenn Miller, the little man who won there. Tex Beneke was not only the sax player and the vocalist. He also is the guy who did the whistling, and it's really nice whistling, too, so we'll do that again. Didn't realize I was playing the end of it. Oh, well, and we're talking to Stan in Dearborn, and let's find him again, because I've lost him. All right, if you're on hold, you know the deal. It's unscreened, and we're doing an order of how long have you been on hold. So if you can, don't hang up and call back, because you'll lose your place. So back to Stan in Dearborn. So, and I should have done something during that break, like looked up something, but of course I didn't, Stan. I just sat here.
Take a break. You deserve it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, well, after wiring the studio this afternoon and now realizing I guess I wired part of it wrong, I'm my mind is going to that. Like, what could I have done? So I'll figure it out.
And when I was looking at your website, you were talking about the Carpets were known also as the Derby.
Yes, they were.
And so right away, I looked up my Derbies on Mercury.
Right.
To see if Gadsden wrote it, but he didn't.
No.
The writer, Night After Night by the Derbies, is Donnie Elbert.
Yes, but, you know, there were multiple Derbies. And I don't think they were the Derbies on Mercury. They released a couple things in Kansas City. I forget, one was about a dance. It'll come to me. But in any event, it was on the strength of that they actually got booked on that fatal tour that I mentioned, where, you know, they had to be in one market the Coasters and another market the Drifters. You know what I mean? they never got to be the Derbies.
Yeah, we had some of those groups come around at Solani.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Back in the '80s and nineties.
Well, there's so many. I remember years ago I was at an NAB show and a friend of mine said, "Oh, I'm going to see the Marvelettes tonight." I said, "No, you're not." "What do you mean?"
Yeah.
I said, "You may go see a group, but it will not be the Marvelettes. There ain't going to be no Gladys Horton or anybody else in this group." And that was, and of course later Motown would license the names like the Elgins. I remember seeing them somewhere and they were fully licensed, but when she got up there and said, "Now when we did our big hit in 1963, I thought you weren't alive in 1963, lady.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's, and they've had some, you know, and that was licensed, so it was legit, but they've had a lot of different court cases and stuff in terms of these names, and they've got the, you know, the Truth in Singing Act or whatever they called it, but it doesn't stop it. Not really.
But, you know, when I went to this Mercury 45 night after night, and saw Donnie Albert, and this from 59. Is this the Donnie Albert that
yes,
wrote it?
Yes, Donnie Albert.
Was he with the Derbies?
No, absolutely not. But he would have. He would have written it.
Oh, okay.
Donnie
because
Albert.
High tenor lead.
Right.
No. Night after night. Yeah.
I don't think he was ever with the group because they were Kansas City based.
Yeah, but I mean the Mercury.
The Mercury Derbies. Well. Yeah. I guess that's possible, actually, but I don't think he was a member of it. He was originally in the Vibraharps, and that
yeah, Vibraharps.
Yeah, right, exactly. And
I got that one. Beach, yeah.
Right, right, and that was you know, with the solo hits like "Have I Sinned" and all that stuff. But I don't think that he was with the Derbies. But that's an interesting question. And man, he never got his due on anything, sadly. So
yeah,
but that's an interesting question. In other words, how did they wind up with that song? Donnie Albert was originally from New Orleans, and then the family moved to Buffalo, and that's why he grew up in Buffalo. But you know, the Vibraharps again with Danny Cannon, and it was interesting because of course Danny Cannon was also Lenny O'Henry across the street on ATCO. Which was just,
I loved
a big beach music song across the street. And so that was the same guy, and I think they were on beach. But I know he left after that, and then of course 1957 he did What Can I Do, which was a great record. It made the charts not high, but it was still a great record.
And, yeah, that was on Deluxe, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. And that was covered. I think Derek Harriott might have covered that. But yeah, he was on Deluxe. He was on VJs, on Red Top, Parkway, you name it, Cub. It's just a who's who. He was on Gateway, and remember Run Little Girl? I loved that.
Oh, that's a great tune. Yeah.
Yes.
I just heard that today. It's on one of the CDs we take in the car.
Oh yeah, and you know,
yeah.
It was Lieber and Stoller who offered him like $10,000 for rights to the song, and he said no because Gateway said, "Oh no, you'll make more money on your own." So he kept the rights, but of course, nothing ever happened on Gateway. Although "Little Piece of Leather" was interesting, and Berry Gordy thought, "Let's have you record it for Motown," and again he said no, and so of course, "Little Piece of Leather" is a huge Northern song. Soul hit, but not, you know, anything else. And so you know the deal with Daryl Banks, you know about that feud, right?
Daryl Banks?
Yeah, here's what happened. Donnie Albert wrote "Baby Walk Right In," and Banks took the song, renamed it "Open the Door to Your Heart," released it, and didn't give him writer's credit. Banks was listed as the writer. So, and initially, Elbert thought, well, it's just a clerical error, you know, that kind of thing. But no, Daryl Banks, no, I wrote it. No wonder someone killed him. But in any event, he eventually got himself as co-writer because Banks made like a couple minor changes, sped up the tempo or whatever, and which should not have given him, but nonetheless, that gave him co-writer. So, the deal is Donnie Elbert wrote over 100 songs. Daryl Banks never wrote another song. Now you tell me, did Daryl Banks write that? Gee, I don't think so. But that happened to him, Donnie Elbert, all the time. It's like he was born under the wrong star as far as that goes. There's so many wonderful things that he did. I can't get over losing you, man. I could do hours on Donnie Elbert, and I just loved him. And I was always saddened that his claim to fame for the general public was a remake of Where Did Our Love Go? Not that that was a bad record, but it's like, come on, there's so many original Donnie Elbert wonderful, wonderful records. That
At least a dozen before that. Yeah.
Yes. And then, they had him do all these other Motown remakes, and it's like, oh, please. And, and it was a shame.
He was doing better on his own.
Of course he was. Song. Yes, yeah. Of course he was. So, and then, of course, he wrote Shame, Shame, Shame. And you know about that, too, on All Platinum. What? That was same deal. He was shopping a song that he'd written, Shame, Shame, Shame. And All Platinum, without asking, gave the song to, of course, Shirley and Company, Shirley Goodman. Formerly Shirley and Lee, and it was released by Shirley and Company, crediting All Platinum co-owner Sylvia Robinson as the writer, not Donnie Elbert, and went to number 12. So, again, just like with Open the Door to Your Heart, was having a fit, but he was, I don't think he ever got legal credit for Shame, 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 but he absolutely did. Of course, Shirley and Company never had another record after that, too, and then he left All Platinum. And
at Fortune Records, Deborah Brown wrote every
record. Absolutely. Right, because she typed up the lyrics. Yes.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But still, Fortune put out so many good...
Eddie O'Meara used to go crazy over that.
Oh, yeah.
All the money that he should have had.
Oh, yeah. Well...
We knew Nathaniel personally, so...
Oh, yeah.
He told us a lot of stories about her and Fortune Records.
Oh, well, sure. You know exactly what that was. But the one thing I'll give them credit for is at least they released the stuff. You know, they were willing to release stuff nobody else would.
Well, she only co-wrote.
Yeah, right. Well, exactly. Well, just like, but that was so common. I mean, didn't Don Roby co-wrote Everything is Different Names,
Yeah.
Of course, we know Moish Levy is on a lot of records. And so...
Yeah, that's true.
That was the
standard of in the industry at that time.
Oh, absolutely it was. And again, the thought was, well, why do these people complain they're getting more money for their appearances? And that was the logic, which was bad logic, but it was. I think the only guy who, as a co-writer, probably did co-write stuff was George Goldner. I have a feeling he really did, because he was the real deal. But the other stuff...
Yeah, he was into the music.
Yes. Oh, well...
That's what I read, yeah.
Like they always said, he had the ears of a 13-year-old girl. And it was true. He could smell a hit. If he didn't have that gambling problem, he would have been bigger than any of them. Because he was just great, I thought. But, every time his life was threatened, he'd sell a label to Moish Levy and suddenly he'd come out alive. And that's how that worked.
Yeah.
But it was unfortunate. But, yeah, so many people who just never got their due, and Donnie Elbert's at the top of the list. So, yeah.
I was just surprised that he was a co-writer on this.
Well, I'm not. He wrote over 100 songs.
Yeah.
So I'm not, as far as that goes. I'd have
to. Seeing his name on there gave me the impression he might have been on the record, but.
No, I don't think so. But what to do is find the publishing company. That's on the record, too, and then you can probably trace it back that way and find out how they got it or whatever. But with over 100 songs out there, not really surprising. And, of course, he was pushing them all the time, like with what happened with Shirley and Company, never necessarily knowing where they'd land. So, yeah. Well, I'll play some Donnie Elbert this week.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you betcha. I'm glad you brought him up. All right. All right.
Okay.
Good to talk to you, Stan. Thank you.
Okay, good talking to you, Raleigh. Have a great show.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
you. Bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. And looking at our board of calls, waiting 38 minutes is 608. So we're going behind the Cheddar Curtain coming up next on WGN Radio.
To hold your hand, what can I say to make you understand?
To get myself a Donnie Elbert fix, that was all there was to it. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, What Can I Do, 1971 on Deluxe. That was the A-side to Have I Sinned. Have I Sinned, probably the better known record. Unless, of course, you happen to be in Jamaica, where it is one of the biggest ever. They call it the wedding song, Derek Harriott. And he gave Donnie Elbert a co-writer credit, at least that was something. But yeah, the wedding song probably played to this day. Also 1971 on Crystal. Check it out. It is just a great song all the way around. All right, so waiting 44 minutes, and appreciative there are, going behind the Cheddar Curtain to say welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
I'm Karen in Madison.
Oh, Karen. Well, yes, and I played the instrumental version, and I promised to play the stylistics version, too.
No, don't worry. When I was so happy to hear it, I got right on the phone because I was awake and waiting and didn't know if I'd missed it. I hate to ask you anything.
Oh,
and
no,
then
no.
Not be there.
No,
you know.
I will get there. I will get the stylistics on, and I have Wagon Wheel Darius Rucker because I think that's the Darius Rucker
that's
you
the
wanted.
Other one.
Wagon Wheel. Yeah,
but
I figured.
You don't have to play stylistics because that was beautiful what I heard.
Oh, well, good.
And Van McCoy. And I had said, any that's the song, but you can play, pick out an original, you know. So I wanted to thank you so much, because I stayed awake and I heard it.
Oh, good.
And you saved me from this drunk that keeps calling me.
Oh.
And then she gets mad because, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's a little hard three times. I don't need to get into.
No, hang up the phone. That's what you do.
And then that's trouble for me.
Oh,
but
no.
I did. She hung up on me when I said, can you call me when you're not drinking?
I'm so sorry.
But you saved me.
Well, good. And you
made me realize I had more power in me than I thought.
All right, and you've ended the hour, and I promise I'll get you Darius Rucker next coming up. Thanks for calling, Karen.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right.
Lisa's so okay.
All right, good deal. Bye-bye. We'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
My way in North Carolina, staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, string band. My baby plays the guitar, I pick a banjo now. Oh, North Country winters keep a getting me down. Lost my money playing poker, so I had to leave town. But I ain't a turning back to living that old life no more. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey,
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Darius Rucker's version of Wagon Wheel, Lady Antebellum backing him on that. 2013 on Rassi, a UK label. Karen and Madison wanted to hear it. That song, of course, overplayed, if anything, co-written by Bob Dylan, and also a guy from Old Crow Medicine Show that recorded it as well in their version, which was a platinum record, apparently. And a bunch of other people did it. Nathan Carter did it, then Darius Rucker. Now, Darius Rucker had been in Hootie and the Blowfish. But what's interesting, like I say, is that is one of those feel-good songs that is done so often on stage at festivals and things like that, that there was one festival that banned it. I kid you not, at Swampfire Sessions, they said, we banned it. We literally put up a sign that said, absolutely no wagon wheel. And it's the New England Americana Festival. And they sell a shirt. It's got an image of a wagon wheel with a line through it, creating a no wagon wheel zone. And it's kind of inescapable. Yeah, I've heard it compared to Hello Walls, which I think is a great song, and Island in the Stream, which I hope I never hear again. But regardless, very big how many country songs get banned from clubs because they're played so much. I would think that Billy Ray Cyrus would be somewhere on the list for Achy Breaky Heart, because every time we do the World's Worst Hit Records, nobody really nominates Wagon Wheel, but man, Achy Breaky Heart, you betcha. All right, so 888-876-5593. And hanging on 54 minutes is 773, so we're going to Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
Well, hello?
Yes, it's you.
Hello, this is Robert from... LaGrange.
Okay. All right, Robert.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could give a background. There was a record label, I'm sure you were familiar with it, called Tops, T-O-P-S.
Oh, yeah. And these are re-sinks. These actually were plastics manufacturers in the, and some of them also did Kitty Records, but in World War II, and after the war, what they did was they used their presses to come up with sound-alikes. and they would have like six. Hit was another one of those labels. Promenade was another one of those labels, and they would sell them like six hits for 98 cents or whatever, you know, they'd go on that that deal. The interesting thing is who the groups were. Of course, on the records, you'd never know who they were. They'd be like the Cellos doing "Walk Like a Man" or something. Strangely enough, a lot of them were pop standard singers on their way down, and some of them were, later people who were going to have hits. So it was interesting, but that was the deal. Tops was Los Angeles based. A lot of them were New Jersey based, this was Los Angeles based. And they would have like the Toppers 12 top hits and all that kind of stuff when they do the album or six top pops. Yeah, what about it?
Yeah, I was just wondering too. Wasn't there was there probably a lot of legalese because of the copyrights?
Because I've never heard that they didn't pay the royalties. Remember, once a song has been recorded by anyone, the first recording, it's up to the publisher who's going to get it. But after the first recording, anyone can record it. You don't need permission and all that. Now you have to pay royalties. And so
I didn't know that. Yeah.
ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, you got to do that. But other than that, anyone can do it. And I don't know how great these people were at paying royalties, but I've never heard that they were in trouble for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a few extended play 45s when I was about 11 years old, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, but the EPs, the EPs were a common thing. Like RCA released a ton of Elvis EPs, where it'd be two songs on each side of the 44.
Right. Yeah.
And so you would, this was a big thing. And again, for the most part, it was Plastics guys and the Kitty Record guys who did this.
Okay.
And they each have their own history. And they were going after six records for 98 cents. Why not?
Okay, Riley, thanks a lot for the info.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Okay. Yeah, promenade, if you will. They even had the Promenade Orchestra as far as that goes. And but again, some of the guys had been in big bands and all that, and were actually doing things, and others not so much. The albums, and they did albums as well as the 45s. I remember it was like a blue and a white thing, and the 45s were yellow. All right, so somewhere around I've still got a bunch of those just to prove they existed. Now, let's see. We have back to, 608, hang on for 52 minutes. Welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you?
Hi, Riley. It's Jim from Richmond.
How you feeling, Jim? It's Wednesday. Did you go to the doctor?
No, no doctors today.
Okay.
First off, I wanted to talk about Lisa Dent.
Okay.
I used to listen to US 99.
Uh-huh.
And because there was nothing in the afternoon to listen to after WLS and WGN. And then later I became in love with country music at that time.
Okay.
And then I remember that they won at the GMAs as one of the artists, they give awards to the radio station.
Yeah.
But I can't remember who was the co-host with her, and I just thought it was great that you were able to talk to her because she's gone through a lot lately.
I my heart just breaks for what she's had to go through. And she's right. Life turns on a dime. That's the way it is. And it works the other way, too. So for people who think that life's never going to get better, it may turn on a dime.
Yes. And then today I got a phone call from the hospital. They canceled my colonoscopy because they agree with me. They want me to take that.
The blood test. The blood test. Okay.
The blood test.
Okay.
And they said that they will wait to find out the results. But my primary doctor hasn't finished the paperwork for that yet.
All right. Well, it'll be fine.
Right. And then today and yesterday and today, I had the worst eyesight in my whole life.
I'm sorry.
And I had an accident in the house, and I couldn't even clean up after myself. That today, my friend, she did the shopping all by myself, all by herself today. And I am to the point where I give up.
Well, you keep saying this, Jim, and here's the deal.
It's,
you've said it on many, many phone calls, and I understand. But the bottom line is that, yes, if you continue the way you're going, you're going to have to give up. That's really the truth.
Right.
But the reality is you don't have to. That's your choice. Because the reality is you could make the changes that you need to do to be self-sufficient. For one thing, you could move. For another thing, you absolutely could make it your business to know exactly what to do with all the accessible equipment that would help you. And you are relying on people to help you, and that is not going to work.
Right.
Raleigh, and so it's up to you.
I couldn't even eat my breakfast.
That's right. Well,
I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I understand that, but we're supposed to be getting to the point where you're not going to see anything, is what I'm saying to you.
That's where I'm at right now.
Well, then okay. So you have to make up your mind what you want to do. Just because you cannot see, that's no reason to throw in the towel, unless you want to. But the idea that you can't, that's ridiculous. There's no such thing as you can't. There's many things you could do, including, as I say, move to be in a more accessible place. You could also again, you've resisted learning technology, and that's what's going to save you. Well, you're not doing it. It's been a couple years. It's been a couple years. You haven't done it. By now, you should be 100% proficient.
I've tried everything.
No,
I've
buy it.
Downloaded everything you wanted me to download, and I've done everything, and it's to the point.
All right. Well,
that if I'm going to be blind, I don't want to live.
That's a choice. By the way, I'm not going to talk you out of that. That is a choice. And if that's the choice you want to make, you certainly don't have to be here. And
I thank you and Fran and Karen and Linda for all the support you've given me.
Well, and none of them can see, and all of them have made a life worth living. So this is your choice. And if that's what you want to do, I'm not going to talk you out of it.
And thank you, Raleigh.
All right.
I will continue to listen.
Well, as long as you're here.
I can't do anything to change how I feel.
Well, you could do something to change your circumstances, though, but you are choosing not to. So always remember, this is your choice. All right.
Yes. And thank
good luck.
You, Raleigh.
Thanks.
And I
very
hope
sad.
You can survive the rest of your week without
John. Oh, yeah.
John.
I absolutely can. Don't worry about that.
I miss John a lot.
Ah, yeah. Well, he'll be back. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. And sorry to be so hard on Jim, but that's the absolute truth. What it comes down to is it is a choice. Not saying it's easy. And also not discounting that some people are just saying, hey, I don't want to be here. Well, I respect that. Absolutely. I won't talk you out of that. But I will say that it's a choice. All the people he thanked, not a one of them can see. So, I'm not passing judgment, because you never know what you'll do if you're in the same situation. But I do know that there's help there, and that he has been resistant to doing that. And so I wish him the best. But there you have it. All right, so we'll get back to it with 301. I think this might be Nick. I don't know. It's somebody who is in Maryland, and someone who was asleep before, so we'll find out. They're awake. All right, and then we got a couple other 708 and 256 coming up on WGN Radio. Coming down. Wait a minute. I'm not going to play Jackie Shane, because I just realized I had promised that I would play the beginning of the, and I will get to Jackie Shane, if not tonight, definitely tomorrow night, because those are Isaac's for us. But I remember promising that I would play Glenn Miller, the little man who wasn't there from the beginning, and you'll hear a Tex Beneke's whistling on this, and I think he did it, and of course his sax work as well. Just all around great guy. Thank you.
there, Texas. What you say?
Are you whistling in the dark just to scare the ghosts away?
I know there's something following me that I can't see. Someone sure laid an awful hex on me.
A hex? Aw, Tex, that's pretty far-fetched. Man, I'd think you're just a little bit touched.
If you'd have got a load of what I saw last night, you'd have passed a Yankee clipper on its maiden flight. Last night I saw up on the stairs a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away. When I came home last night at 3, the man was waiting there for me. But when I looked around the hall, I couldn't see him there at all. Go away, go away. Don't you come back anymore. Go away, go away. And please don't slam the door. Last night I saw up on the stair a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
All right, so there you have some Tex Beneke. And like I say, the sax, the whistling, the singing is all Tex, who made it to about 2000, I think. He was living in Orange County for decades, actually, I think Costa Mesa, and passed away, I think, in 2000. But yeah, great, great stuff. For a while, he was appearing at Knott's Berry Farm all the time, and he'd done something at Disney, too, and of course, all the things in Balboa. So yeah, on and on, but absolutely good stuff. And it was Dave on the North Side who wanted to hear that. So with that in mind, now we check out 301 on WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
I am Victor.
All right, Victor. Yeah.
Silver Spring.
Did you call before? Did you fall asleep?
Probably did.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Well, sorry you had to wake up.
I'll go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Anyhow, to your last caller, straighten
yes.
out and fly right. Tired of hearing
yeah.
you whine and complain. Start, get a life. I have a life. I talk to my trucker friends.
Sure. You were born, wait a minute, you were born blind, weren't you, Victor?
They gave me too much oxygen.
Okay, yeah, and that, unfortunately, that was a very common thing. You're not alone in that. But
oh, I know I'm not. I'm lucky. I did have pretty good vision when I was younger, and I could read regular print with a microscopic lens.
Okay. But
I couldn't read for long periods of time. But, you know, I keep myself entertained. I like listening to a trucking show, Steve Summers Overnight Drive.
Oh, yeah, right,
I hear the truckers, and when I call in, my handle is Blind Man.
Good, yeah, the Trucking Bozo's son, Steve. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and I know several truckers personally, and one of them came to my house, and
we spent
a really good afternoon together.
Good.
And I love their name, their nicknames.
Oh, the handles, yes.
There's this one trucker I talk to regularly. His handle is Brain Dead.
Yeah.
I said, how did you get that name? And he says, well, I got lost in Illinois, and I had to ask a cop for directions, and he said, that's the biggest brain-dead excuse I ever heard.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
So that's how he got his name. And then Eskimo Mom, she raises huskies, and I talk to her on a regular basis. And Saturday and Sunday mornings, when I'm up around 3 o'clock in the morning, one of them will call me, and we'll have a conference call. So I'll be talking to Eskimo Mom, and she would have Lisa up in Vermont, who drives a milk truck. And
here, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Don't go away. I'm blowing the news again, so I'll be back in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Chuba, chuba, my baby. Chuba, chuba.
Hello, stranger. It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
It seems like a mighty long time. Chuba, chuba, my baby. Ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time. Oh, used to be. Ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time.
Chubop, chubop, my baby, ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time. Chubop, chubop, my baby. Chubop, chubop, my baby. Chubop, chubop, my baby. Chubop, chubop, my baby.
Chubop, chubop,
my baby. Chubop, chubop, my baby.
Chubop, chubop,
my baby.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Barbara Lewis, she wrote it. In fact, it was her father who inspired her on that. He was a musician, and she would occasionally go with him when he'd make the circuit around Detroit. And her dad was yelling, "Hey, stranger, hello, stranger, been a long time." And so she absolutely came up with the song, and it was recorded at Chess in Chicago. And of course, the Dells are back in her. I say of course, because you probably know that. But it was Ollie McLaughlin, who had been a disc jockey in Ann Arbor, who had record labels like Karen and Moira, and he had Dion Jackson and the Capitals and all that. But so he produced it, and he's the one who got it to Capitol. And apparently, the interesting thing about this is that it was 13 takes, and when they finally got the 13th, it was Chuck Barksdale of the Dells who was jumping up and down, "It's a hit, it's a hit!" And Atlantic took some convincing. They'd released a couple other things of Barbara Lewis that Ollie McLaughlin did that didn't do much. But the sad story is it wasn't for 40 years, maybe longer, before she saw a royalty whatsoever. She was working as a maid in Orlando, and in fact, it was one of those things where occasionally she'd sing along with the radio, and someone said, you really sing good. Yeah, no kidding. And ultimately, she did get her royalties, and she, thank God for the oldies circuit, wound up back on stage where she absolutely belongs. But yes, a pox on Ollie McLaughlin's house for that. All right, so back to Victor. Sorry about that, Victor.
Would you like to hear how Gene Roddenberry kept his promise to me?
Tell me.
Okay, well, I met him at a Star Trek convention back in 1976.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling him about how the blind were being discriminated and mm-hmm. some of the crazy things that we had to put up with.
Right.
And he said, "Send me a tape." So I sent him a tape and told him that blind people were capable of doing things, and
right.
they're blind lawyers, etc.
Of course.
And he sent a tape back to me, and he said, "I promise you, Victor, I will absolutely try to have a blind character on a future Star Trek episode."
Good.
Guess what?
There was.
It turned out to be Geordi LaForge.
That's perfect. That's great. Good for you. You're so right, and it's just ignorance that causes people to assume that because you can't see, there are other things you can't do.
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to tell this caller that feels sorry for himself.
Well, no, look,
I do have a life.
Yeah, hang on one minute.
I enjoy
wait.
Talking to the truckers.
No, no, I know.
I enjoy.
I get that, but Victor,
some of my tapes back of me talking to Rush Limbaugh and.
Yeah.
I got him laughing one time on his show. He was asking me if there's going to be a reality show and maybe the blind against the deaf. And I said, "Hey, Rush, why don't we have a wheelchair race on the beach and laugh at the contestants getting stuck in the sand?" And he starts laughing and says, see, if I said that, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Right.
What a great way to end the show. See you Monday.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I will say, and you're 100% right, but it's very different when you've lived your whole life into retirement age before you lose your vision. because your whole life,
your whole life has
been directed that way. It's a tremendous adjustment. So it's not really comparable. But the reality is that it's up to him if he wants to do what's necessary. It is possible, and there is help. But unfortunately, he has not been able to embrace that. And that's why I say, I don't mean to be mean, but when I say, you know, like suicide is an option, so to speak, I don't want anybody to live a life they're not wanting to live. But the thing that they need to know on the way out is that's their choice. Options are available. You can live a very fruitful existence no matter what.
Playing the victim card.
Yeah, well, sure. And the victim card can be great, but it's limiting. You know, I've known people who did that, and a good friend, in fact, Stephen B. Williams, my voiceover guy, his sister, Jan, was very much that way. She'd play the victim card. This was a woman who had a legal degree and a medical degree and never worked. You know, she played the victim card very much.
Another short story.
Yeah.
I was forced to go to a diversity class, and they started talking about privilege. So I stood up and I said, hey, I'll tell you a type of privilege. It's called sided privilege. You can go in a car and go anywhere
yes.
you want.
Yes.
See, I have to think about what bus do I take?
Yep.
Or do I have to take a cab?
Yep.
You know, stuff like that. I said, I could sit here and feel sorry for myself, but I do the best I can.
No, you're right, and you'll advocate, which is what's important. You know, one of the things, like in talking to Fran, when she was looking for a washer, for instance, unfortunately, a lot of these manufacturers have come up with things that are not tactile. If you can't see, you can't use, and that kind of stuff shouldn't be happening.
Yes, and it took me a while to get a good washer and dryer, and when it was installed, I had some liquid Braille, and we Brailled the markings, so I know which is heavy load versus light load, et cetera.
Right.
Hot water,
right.
Cold water, whatever. And I have a microwave, and we just put super glue dots to represent each minute, and then a double one for 5 minutes, and then all the way up to 55 minutes. That 1986 microwave is still working.
Good. Well, and you know, it's probably much more accessible. Like, for instance, on today's washers, I don't care how much Braille you have, the dial goes around and around, and there's nothing that tells you where you are. There's nothing sound.
Exactly.
There's nothing tactile.
Well, there are lights that light up to show you where you are.
Well, but if you can't see them, there is nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, that just shouldn't be. Just like at this point in time when we have a country as powerful as America, money, denomination, should have been something you could tactically know what you were getting rather than all the bills being the same size.
I have a paper money identifier, thanks to the government.
That's good.
They were thinking about doing something in Braille or something, and they figured, what the hell, we'll just send them a money identifier. I just put the bill in the slot and it says 1, 5, 10, whatever.
Well, that's certain. It's an improvement, but years ago that didn't exist, and there was no reason for it to be the way it was. So keep advocating. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit more about me next time.
Okay.
Maybe I'll tell you more about the truckers that I know. When you go off, I'm going to tune in to
Steve
Summers' Overnight Drive.
Terrific. I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Victor.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. I'm thrilled that the truckers are still trucking because with things like hours of service and everything else, a lot of the guys and gals that I knew on the road got off a long time ago because they're like, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, yeah. Gone are the days when you get in the truck and shut the door and you're your own person till you get to the destination. I know. That ain't coming back. All right, so we have 708. Welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you?
I'm on the line.
You are?
Hey. Hey, Carl, in Riverside.
Yes.
Raleigh. Hey, I talked to you last week. I was doing some research on his song. Maybe I can request it and you can play it at your convenience sometime.
All right. What is it?
Okay. Name of the song is What is Love? And I found out it's by...
The Playmates?
No, but speaking of blindness, I believe this artist was blind. Diane Shore?
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's by her. It's kind of quirky fun, you know. Anyway, that's...
Yeah, absolutely. Heard, and, you know. Yeah, she... jazz is mostly jazz and piano. And yes, as far as I know, she is blind. And it's S-C-H-U-U-R. And this woman has put out a couple dozen albums. And she's been with the Count Basie Orchestra and a number of other things. But
is she still around, Raleigh?
Yeah, she was born in December of 53, so she'd be 72. So, yeah, she's from Tacoma originally. So, and unfortunately, she was a preemie. And she was a preemie by a couple months. I think she weighed less than 3 pounds, which complications led to her blindness. And she had a twin brother. Who had normal vision, but he had significant hearing loss. So, and she grew up in a southern suburb of Seattle, between Seattle and Tacoma, Auburn. And so she was singing from the time she was, 4 or 5. And when she was 13, and she had a Duke Ellington record collection and all that kind of stuff, and her dad was a police captain. And, she got to the attention of some very successful people, learned to play piano by ear and read music in Braille. Hell, most singers can't read music if they can see it. So she was singing at a Holiday Inn in Tacoma doing country. And so that was, and then she did an audition when she was 15 at Lake Tahoe at Harrah's, and she got the job. But the problem was she couldn't get anybody. Her father, he was widowed by this time. He couldn't leave his job, so there was no one to chaperone her. But they were ready to hire her, and I think it was.
Raleigh, how do you know all this stuff?
Well, you know, I've lived in 32 cities, and you hear these stories, you know. So, what can I tell you?
Hey, I believe you said you don't go to the movies too often, but
true.
I did see one last night based on fact. It had to do with the relationship between Benjamin Franklin and this fire and brimstone preacher named George Whitefield. It was pretty good. Interesting.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, I know George Whitefield, wasn't that the first Great Awakening?
A Great Awakening was the name of the movie.
Well, okay. All right. Yep. Well, no, his deal when he was a itinerant preacher, if you will, and the first Great Awakening is what it was called. And of course, Benjamin Franklin was a scientist, but he was a deist, I think. So, it wasn't like he was an atheist, because he wasn't. So interesting. So they made a movie.
Didn't recognize any of the acting was really good, but didn't recognize one actor, but they were good.
Interesting, interesting. So what the name of the movie was? Great Awakening.
A Great Awakening is the name of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I hope you don't mind this. This is going out to Victor. I thought he was maybe a little rough on Jim. You know, everybody's different and, you know what I mean?
Well, no, I do, but I also understand the frustration when you hear somebody who will act like there is no choice when there is a choice. It's very different when you've been blind from birth or childhood than when you suddenly hit an advanced age and are blind. I can't begin to talk about the differences there, but it ain't easy, but still, it's all a choice.
Yeah, and everybody out there, hey, if you ever think about complaining about anything, just look at Jim's situation, for instance.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, thank your lucky stars, right?
No, absolutely. You know, I don't like being in this meat suit known as a body, but I don't take for granted that I can still walk around and see and do all those things. I think about that every day and thank God for that. You betcha. I do not take that for granted. So
I think you and I are very close in age from my research. So
if you're talking about what online likes to make me in my dreams, I'll take it. Yes. Yeah.
I see that. I went online. This was a while ago. Yeah. I got to do some research. Got this long, flowing blonde hair. It's a nice looking woman.
Yeah. Right. The pictures are pretty old. But no, I've seen
Maxima.
Yeah, I've seen that too. There was one, I remember on Wikipedia it once said I was born on December 26, 1952. I said, "Oh, great, I'll take it." But I'm not born on December 26th anything. Don't believe what you read, but I'm as old as you want me to be. Let's just leave it at that.
Right, it's just a number. Hey, we got a few more minutes left. I'll let you go. Maybe you squeeze
right.
in one or
I'm
two.
I'm going to try. So, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, take bye. Care. All right. I think I got to do this right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper. We have 6 minutes left, and I want to get through three people. So we'll meet the first one, and that is 773. Welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you? All right. I think we lost him. Well, it happens. There's tomorrow night, by the way. We'll be an hour late tomorrow night. That's true for Monday night as well due to sports, but it'll be 11 to 1 Central Time. All right, so we have 630. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
This is Mark from Aurora.
All right,
and
Mark.
I lost my eyesight 6 years ago, and Jim from Richmond, I just want to say this to you. Think of all the people, including me, who have been listening to you and supporting you and praying for you. If you do away with yourself, we will all hurt.
Interesting. You know, I can't really comment about that because I absolutely believe in someone's right to their own destination, if that's what they want to do. But what's painful to me is Jim firmly believes that he has no options. And as you well know, having gone through this, there are always options.
And you have just affirmed that you will hurt if he does that.
Well, sure, but I'll support it. I will not. I'll never be the one to be, stay alive in amazing pain, whether it's physical or emotional or not. You know, I'm not going to do that. But I do. I mourn the fact that Jim steadfastly believes that he doesn't have options, and including getting the heck out of where he is and being somewhere that's going to be more accessible.
Well, I hold that everyone belongs to God, and before you take your own life, you'd better ask God if he gives you his permission.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
remember again, Jim, we will all hurt if you take your own life.
Well, as far as what will happen afterwards, that's, you know, well beyond my understanding. But what I know for sure is that they'll be frustrating. It'll be frustrating because Jim has elected not to take advantage of things that he could take advantage of, if he so choose. And it's up to him. You know, more than once he's called saying, I'm at this point. And I get that. But he's at this point because he doesn't feel he has options when he, in fact, does. What he wants it is on his terms. And you know, whether you can see or you can't see, life isn't on your terms. That's not the way it works, and it isn't fair or just. You know, so it's sort of like, I want it to be like this. Well, yeah, you know, I'd like to be a multimillionaire too. All right,
well, Jim, please don't hurt us by doing this.
Yeah,
that's
and
all I've got.
Absolutely, and don't hurt us by staying mired in the same position you're in, because it hurts just hearing the pain
he's in.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. There are options. It's a key to finding them. All right. Last call goes to 256. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you? Well, I guess we're not going to. Are you there? I guess we're not going to find out. I think somebody else fell asleep. Well, that's good if I can do that. That's something I'd like to bottle. Oh, you know, I didn't play 2020 news tonight. Let me find that here, because that is one of the most requested features, and it's a lot of fun. And so as for Wednesday, yeah, you may hear the stories on the news. You won't hear them told exactly like this.
Trigger happy tearaway, plus porch pounding punk and propagator. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Crash chase charges. Chicago cops say a trigger-happy driver sprayed shots, sped away, and screamed through side streets before smashing into parked cars in the city's Gresham neighborhood. Officers swarmed, snatched the suspect, and seized a gun after the wild wheelman wrecked out and tried to run. Police say no officers were hit, though two were taken to a hospital for observation after the chaotic crash scene shut down streets for hours. If your idea of a high-speed hobby is shoot and scoot, congratulations. You just earned a slow ride to court. Door-smashing dimwit. Riverside, California residents endured a midnight melee when a mystery man marched up and mule-kicked their front door, battering the security gate as the doorbell cam caught the crazy commotion. Police pulled in, viewed the video, placed the suspect as a repeat rule-breaker, then picked him up days later. He's now parked in jail on pricey bail. If your late-night lesson is booting doors, congratulations, you just enrolled in Corrections 101. Gator Frayed, Flake Placid. Florida football flax thought it'd be cool to get the coach to pose for promo pics with a live alligator. Choke pallid Manny as the 7-foot gator hissed and snapped at the coach, like something out of Happy Gilmore. See you later, alligator allergic said, but he stuck it out at the risk of getting chomped. Promotional consideration of the coach's safety not provided by the knuckleheads who gambled on the guy becoming a Gators Gainsburger. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
And I'm Raleigh James, and that's a wrap. We thank Brett for keeping us on the air. I thank you for putting up with it being unscreened. And tomorrow night, 22 hours from now after the game, we will reconvene. I'm Raleigh James, WGN Radio.